My podcast grew 400% in that 30 days. And I wouldn't say it's exactly correlated, but it's correlated with my obedience. It was God saying, watch me. You don't think I can grow your business without you being on social media, but if I don't want you there and I want you somewhere else, your obedience is what's going to grow it, right? So you get off, I'll show you.
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with His will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going. Hey, you guys, I am so excited for you to jump into the show today. I just got done interviewing Gabe Cox, who is the host of Pursuing Goals God's Way and Red Hot Mindset. She has really got a fantastic perspective on how do you go after a goal. There's no goal that is just unworthy in God's kingdom. And so she wanted to run the Boston Marathon. How did she do that? She is raising a potential Olympic athlete. What does that look like to pursue goals at this high elite level and stay grounded and stay connected to God and not find your worth totally in that thing? And how do you know if what you want to do is in line with God's hopes and dreams for you, or if it's kind of your own thing that you're making up? So we talk all about how to pursue goals that would honor God and also really fulfill the desires of your heart. And you will hear about a very big step that she made to walk in surrender and obedience to God and the fruit that came from that. And I think it's going to be one of those things that's probably going to get you wondering too, what is God potentially asking me to release and to surrender so that He can open doors and bring fruit that only He can bring. So I'm excited for this interview. Let's jump into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm excited to introduce you to a new friend of mine, Gabe Cox. And we were introduced, gosh, a few months back when Gabe was hosting an epic summit. So I will have her tell you a little bit more about that. And she is really powerful in the online business space. And she has a secret to her method, which is not really growing things on social media. That you don't, Gabe's hot take, you don't have to be obsessed with social media. You don't even have to be on social media to grow your business, which I'm like, what? In fact, when you were interviewing me, I'm like, okay, truth be told, I actually am on social media. So let's just clear the air right there. But I love that you are able to take us into a space and really trust God for building business. Gabe is a goal planning and business strategist. So I love the goal planning part. So I'm going to get some free coaching today because I am not necessarily a goal planning strategist. I'm a strategist, but the goal part could be refined in my life for sure. And you are the founder of Red Hot Mindset. First of all, I love the play on words because you're a redhead and I feel like I'm a semi-redhead. I'm kind of a strawberry blonde. So we're going to go with Redheads Unite here, Red Hot Mindset. And you help entrepreneurs personalize and take action on a game plan that works with their capacity in different seasons so they don't have to sacrifice everything to hit their goals. Okay, I'm going to just do a pause and a hard stop. You help people realize they don't have to sacrifice everything important to them, like their family and their health and all the things, to hit their goals. Gabe teaches how to market your business without relying on social media, like I said, so you can ditch the hustle culture for good. So yeah, we don't need hustle. I think we might arm wrestle a little bit about social media, but other than that, Gabe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Megan. I'm so excited to be here and I'm so excited. We're like state buddies. I don't know, business buddies, yes, in the same state. So it's super fun, yes, to be able to have someone local.
Yeah, and I'm in Colorado Springs and we have yet to meet in person. So that is on our to-do list for sure by the end of 2025. And I have to mention before we go any further, like I said, Gabe hosted a summit. I'll let you tell people about it. And she has a podcast called Pursuing Goals God's Way. Mm-hmm. Pursuing Goals God's Way. And I was episode 309. stop chasing the algorithm and start hearing God for your business. So that was a lot of fun. But what summit were you hosting? And tell people a little bit about like your area of expertise.
Sure, absolutely. So I decided to host a virtual conference. I started it in 2024. So this was my second year of hosting it. And I just, God really laid on my heart to, one, I got off social media for life and for business in 2023. And he laid on my heart to help share this with others, like how we can grow businesses without relying on social media, make social media small in our businesses, real connections, all the things. So that is what the conference is all about. Grow your biz without social. It's a 5-day virtual event. You get to hear from 20, well, this year, I think we had 37 speakers. It was a lot of speakers, usually around 25. We do a lot of live events, networking events, speaker panels, lots of things so that we can get that real live connection as well and just keep learning and growing together. But the main point of it is to create, walk away with like a marketing plan that's going to work for you. Like, how do you roll? If you love social media, then stay there, right? But then how do we use it instead of having it use us? And I think that's something that Megan and I got to talk about in the conference was how to hear and discern God's voice when we're making plans, when we are strategizing our marketing and different aspects of our lives. So that's what the conference is all about.
It was epic. It was so good. So if anybody does have a business, please follow Gabe, connect with her because she's going to be a valuable resource for you. But I want to go back to in 2023, you got off social media for good. And on this show, in this podcast, we talk a lot about hearing God's voice and really what does it look like to be prompted by the Holy Spirit and make gutsy, bold, maybe counterculture decisions in order to live our most healthy life, in order to honor what we feel like God's telling us to do. So I'm curious if that decision had anything to do with God's promptings. And if so, like, tell us a little bit more about that, how you heard his voice and why you made that countercultural shift to get off social media.
Yeah. So it was a God prompting for sure, because honestly, in that time frame, even now, it's like you're supposed to be on social if you're doing business. Like, how else are people going to find you? How else are you going to connect? So having a social media marketing framework, being on there, commenting, liking, engaging, doing the things is what you're taught in business, at least online. And so I had been doing the thing for, I guess I started my online business in 2019. So doing the social media thing, crickets, not much going on in that realm. But then also I was kind of feeling this pull because I felt like social media was just starting to get a little bit too negative for me. There's just too much kind of like even hatred, and like people are willing to say things on social that they're not willing to say to your face. And I just was kind of getting sick of it. I wasn't seeing what I wanted to see. I was being inundated with ads. I just wanted to see my closest friends and family and their pictures and connect in that way. And I wasn't feeling that. So, and I also was getting kind of caught up in the scroll. Like if I got on there, I knew I was going to be on there for at least a half hour to an hour or whatever. And you don't even realize it, right? And so I just like was starting to make me blah, you know, just not feel good, not like, and then I was also looking at it as a return on investment. Was it a good return on investment in my business? The answer was no, but at the same time, I was told to do it and I didn't know what else to do. But then in January of 2023, I really felt like God pulling me and saying, I need you to be obedient in this. I need you to step away. And I was like, what am I going to do if I don't do social media? But I said, well, I'm going to listen to that prompting. I don't even know. It wasn't like a verbal prompting. It was just like this urge in my spirit, like enough is enough.
I love that because people are like, she said that God said to get off social media. Like, did she hear it audibly? But you're saying it was a prompting in your spirit. And a couple of clues that I'm picking up from you are that already you were feeling depleted. So for example, if somebody has an intolerance to dairy or gluten or a certain food, your body begins to tell you, hey, I don't like this. you're getting headaches, you have stomach aches, your face is breaking out, whatever it is, there's like these little warning signs, like maybe even a car would be like, hey, warning, warning, this is not good for you. So I feel like what you are describing are these warning signs that it was a very negative space for you. And you were like feeling the oppression, maybe like the negativity coming through social media, and maybe your body and your mindset was like, I can't handle that. I mean, some people I think actually kind of enjoy a little bit of a rub on social media. They might actually get a little bit like mm-hmm. a little dopamine hit, and you're like, no, no, this is depleting me and I'm wasting time. So you admitted to saying, and I think a lot of us are like, yeah, wasting time scrolling through things that ultimately were like eating junk food, like eating a bag of chips or candy. You're like, I'm just going to kind of stroll for 30, 60 minutes and I'm going to walk away going, why did I ingest that into my mind, into my soul? But you didn't give it up immediately. Like you were, quote, feeling bad for a while. Mm-hmm. And then at the top of the year in January, you really felt like God connecting with your spirit and bringing you to a point of conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely conviction. And I think also another way that I hear him is in confirmations, right? So like there'll be little confirmations here and there. So I had seen a couple other people do something similar. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, that would be really nice. I wish I could do that, right?
Like, how did you know that they were doing it? Because the irony is, if you're getting off social media, you can't blast it on social media. I mean, you can for once, but then you got to dip. You got to go.
Right.
So were they just friends of yours that were telling you in person that they were doing this, or how did that work?
So one was a person I was following, a podcaster, you know, and I was and telling me their story on detoxing and just trying it out, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. So that was one. And then I also have like a business friend who just isn't on social media at all. And so like we just talk in our communities and things.
Has a profitable business?
Has a profitable business. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So little things like that. Like even with the conference, when I was looking for speakers, I'm like, I'm looking for speakers who are mostly not on social media or not relying on it. So that's kind of challenging. Where do you go to find them, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are there. You just aren't going to find us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like some of those little things, that those confirmations were helpful to go, okay, if someone else has done this, I could do it too. But mm-hmm. then also just being willing to go against the grain to say, I'll do this. And I, at first it was just a detox. It was just, let's try it for 30 days and see what happens. Like I wasn't being, he didn't say, don't ever get back on. Like I didn't hear that. I just heard.
Was it a full stop for 30 days? Like, did you take it off your phone and off your computer? Like you just.
Well, one thing to note, I already had it off my phone. That's one of the things, like I am a big proponent of real connection and not, you know, they say we touch our phone thousands of times a day. And so one way to keep myself from doing that is to make it more of a dumb phone anyway. So I was already in the process of that. I can't have a dumb phone because I need maps and I need my right. podcast. Those are the two things. Otherwise I would have a dumb phone, a little old flip phone or something. But yeah, so it was, I already took those off and that was really helpful because then I had to actually be intentional to go on the desktop to mm-hmm. go to social media anyway, which helped me from the scroll. Cause I think it's a little bit easier to be like, oh, I got to go do something else now than on my mm-hmm. phone. So yeah. that was already in process. So maybe I was already making some decisions toward that. Toward the full detox, but then with the 30-day detox or quote unquote 30 days, I just thought, you know, trial it. It was off completely, like deleted. I didn't delete my accounts. I still have my account. So you can still find me there. I just won't connect with you. And actually Facebook, I went on Facebook the other day because I will go into a group here and there and like ask a question. I have a few groups for like homeschool or something in particular, but I can't even get to my messages anymore. It wants me to upgrade something or other. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. I don't really care. So if you message me, I won't get it on Facebook anymore, but you will see a profile. So I haven't completely deleted them yet, but mm-hmm. maybe someday.
But you don't really need it. Mm-hmm. So when you went off, and obviously the end of the story is you're staying off for the most part, what did you feel in your spirit? Like, how did God quickly confirm, yes, you heard my invitation. You're doing the next right thing. I mean, you're kind mm-hmm. of surrendered to this. Like how did that shift your mindset or your spirit even pretty quickly?
Yeah. So there's probably a couple different ways, because at first I had a lot of hesitations with getting off because I was like, well, I'm going to have the biggest thing was FOMO, like a fear of missing out, going, well, what if I don't get to see these fun pictures or stay updated with people? And what I quickly realized once I got off, I was like, a lot of them weren't like my real true friends anyway, because my true friends have my number and they can text me those pictures and we can stay connected, right? And so one of the confirmations, one of the things that helped me go, yeah, this was the right move, was that I started getting more intentional in those relationships. Like I was able to go a little deeper in those and focus on them instead of trying to go, like they say, you know, connect wide. Instead of connecting wide, I got to start connecting deep. So that was one thing.
And how did you do that?
I think it was more, you know, the intentional of like, let me think about who do I really want to stay in touch with. Part of this is too, like me moving from, we moved from Minnesota to Colorado in the midst of all the 2020 shutdowns. And so we knew no one here. So I needed to stay connected with those I wanted to there. So I'm thinking when I got off social in 2023, I was thinking, which relationships really do I value that I want to stay connected with? So I actually reached out to those people, letting them know, hey, I'm not online anymore. So, you know, we need to be a little bit more intentional here. So I have a couple of group chats with my besties back in Minnesota, or I just have a couple friends that I either talk to on a regular basis. I have one friend who we have a phone call every Wednesday. I go walk my dog after work and we chat for an hour, and that's like our date. And it's really fun because it's a different connection, right? So it was like, I had to be intentional on how I wanted my relationships to be and how I wanted to go deep. So I do have a few friends who like, they'll text me, oh, did you hear that this happened? Or they'll text me a picture of things because they know I'm not on social, so I'm not going to see things, because there are things that I do miss. Like my husband's on, so he tells me, oh, this person got married or whatever happens, right? The things, oh, this person had a baby, or the things that you're like, I wish I would know these things, but it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have that. We had to learn from the grapevine what was going on in our world. The other thing too is people are like, oh, I get my news from social media. Well, one, don't get your news from social media. But also, I actually like having my bubble. I have to go be intentional on where I'm getting my news. I have to go be intentional on learning about what's going on in the world. But sometimes we can feel that pressure. We can feel like the guilt of not being able to do something about something going on across the world, where instead I could focus on my community and what I could do here. So those are some things that I've gotten from it too. But you had to ask about confirmation. Here's one confirmation that I got from, let's talk business-wise, is 30 days after I got off social media for good, actually, but got off social media, my podcast had been stagnant. My podcast grew 400% in that 30 days. And I wouldn't say it's exactly correlated, but it's correlated with my obedience. It was God saying, watch me. You don't think I can grow your business without you being on social media, but if I don't want you there and I want you somewhere else, your obedience is what's going to grow it, right? So you get off, I'll show you.
Your obedience is what's going to grow it. Yes. I mean, that's huge. And you didn't know when you paused all of this, what would happen. So fascinating to me, like the convergence of our obedience and God's just miracle working, you know, because he grew it 400%. Is that what you just said?
400%.
Okay. I mean, outside of God, how did that happen? Like what did he do?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, at the same time, I do know, because I was able to then, because I wasn't focused on, oh, I got to make content for social media and I got to do this and I got to do that, because that's kind of fleeting. You post once and it lasts for maybe 24 hours. A few people see it, but I was able to take that time that I was investing there and now invest it in my podcast so I could create better content. I could promote it in different ways. That was the initial part, is just like honing in on the podcast and having one focus instead of being split into multiple places. So I'd say that would be one main thing. And then because I got off social media, I was like, now how do I get visibility? So I had to learn and find different ways to actually get out there so people knew what I did and how I could serve them. And that came in the form of collaborating in different ways with other business owners. And in 30 days, I didn't do a whole lot of that, but I did a little of it. And I started to see that it actually worked really, really well to speed up my lead generation, to speed up the visibility and the growth of my business.
Yeah. A couple things I'm struck by. Number one is I feel like you're talking about this concept of generally the culture is a mile wide and an inch deep. I mean, that's really what social media is. It's 10,000 miles wide, however many miles wide and an inch deep, generally speaking. And so what is that? I think as human beings, it's tricky because I think we are deceived into thinking we have these connections and we don't really. I mean, I'm still on social media. I still post and people can engage with me there, but it has been a source of just discernment along the way and wondering, okay, God, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. And I feel stirred and a little bit convicted by what you're saying is that I do feel like it's a spiritual warfare battleground as well, because the enemy can trick us so quickly into thinking, of course you're connected. Of course you know what's going on in the world. Of course, and it's not necessarily real. It's not true. Can there be true connections on social media? Yes. It's not like it's evil or good. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. It's like Satan can take things that are very tangled up and muddy and make us think that we're connecting, make us think that we're living this true life, and we're not. And I think your point to fear of missing out is it has to be by far, if we were playing the Family Feud, they were like, give me six reasons why somebody wouldn't get off social media. I'd be like, FOMO. And it would be at the top of, the little sign would turn over, be like, ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. FOMO, because we have this like counterfeit idea that we're missing out. But what are we missing out on? So how have you reconciled? How has that settled in your spirit? I mean, obviously you do have a little touch point because your husband's on social media and he's like, yo, Gabe, so-and-so had a baby. Somebody had a birthday. But do you feel like you're missing out, or you don't feel like you're missing out because now you get to really cultivate the true friendships, the true connections in your life? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm missing out at all anymore. There are still times where I'm like, oh, maybe it would be fun to get back on and whatnot. But then I'm like, nah. But part of it is one of the reasons when I got off, because I got off for life too. I decided to just not be on at all. But part of those reasons were because I wanted to just be in the moment. Like I really wanted to live life instead of see it through the lens of social. And so when we go out with our family now, I get to have more quality time because I'm not thinking about, oh, this would make a great Instagram post. Okay, kids, go pose over here. I'm going to snap tons of pictures to get the right one and to have, and the caption that's running in my mind, right? I don't have that anymore. I hardly even take pictures, honestly. I just live in the moment. And I love that. So I don't really feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I'm actually living life. I actually get really almost frustrated because my family doesn't feel that way. They're on social and I get like, get off, let's have real life, So I have to be very careful because I know that each to our own really when it comes to that, because I think some people are called to influence on social media. Like you, Megan, I think that it's powerful that you are there. It's just a matter of like, do we let social media own us or do we own it? Like, do we use it as our crutch or do we, is it an idol in our lives? Is it taking the place of true, real connection, true, real friendships? Like you can't be friends with 500 people. You just can't. I have like, I think 2000 people on my Facebook that are my friends. Are they really my friends? Like we used to joke in the beginning that we're not really friends until we're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, I don't know half of them. Do I really want half of them seeing into my life? Do I really want them to see what I'm doing? I'm not sure. Right. So I don't know if that answers your question.
And ultimately, whether it's social media, I mean, we could go to town on this conversation and maybe we'll have to part two, but whether it's social media or whatever it is, I think the kingdom truth that you're bringing to the podcast today and for people to really absorb is what is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? What is God inviting you into? And for you, it was very much like, I don't feel good. I am not the best version of myself. I am not honoring God. I'm not honoring myself or my family by being on social media. And he was like, okay, I'm going to connect the dots for you. I'm going to invite you off. And for you to make the decision to get off was actually really, I'm guessing, really challenging. Because anything that we're addicted to, it's like our flesh is screaming like, no, you can't get rid of that. There's something that it's giving you. There's a dopamine. There's like a, there's some sort of value that your flesh feels. And yet you also said, when I got off of it and I was obedient and surrendered to the Spirit and said, okay, even just 30 days, immediately God was so gracious to you that he showed you immediately, okay, Gabe, I'm going to do something by my Spirit that you can't do yourself, because actually you've been trying and you've been on social media and you've been plugging this thing and it's not working. It's plateaued. And then he grew at 400%. So I'm curious for you, if there are there other seasons or times in life when that happened, when you heard God's voice say, nope, not this, we're going a different way. And you kind of had to wake up and make a really tough choice.
Yeah.
And he blessed it.
I have so many, but what's funny is, okay, so here's the thing. I used to be, I'm a recovering, and I'm still working on this, workaholic. I will say I used to be a yes woman, say yes to everything. Oh yeah, you need that. Because I would feel guilty saying no. Oh, but who else would do it if I say no, right? Instead of thinking, well, if I say no, it gives someone else an opportunity to say yes. That's what I think about now. But so I was in tons of different roles, tons of different work, all the things. And what I learned too is, if you don't listen to the nudge, if you don't say yes immediately to what you're feeling stirring in your spirit, what you're feeling God calling you to do, if it's what he wants you to do, you can't thwart his plans, right? So he is going to make you do it. Mm. And that happened to me actually, let's see, I would have been 2019, maybe. Okay. I was actually finishing my first book, Mind Over Marathon, and I was in the midst of my race season trying to get another race goal, like another time goal. And I slipped on black ice and broke my ankle. And it was essentially that moment where it was like God said, stop. Because now I can't run, obviously. I had to have a surgery. It was a really bad break. Like I tore ligaments, I broke bones, I twisted my ankle, all the things. It was.
This is why I don't run, Gabe.
Yeah.
Just confirmed. Great choice on my part.
Just don't run when there's black ice. I mean, I didn't know there was black ice under me.
That's what black ice is. Nobody knows. That's the point.
But the stop, I couldn't work. I was coaching gymnastics at the time. Like I can't really do that on crutches as well, or at least in a short time. So in a short stint, I couldn't do anything. And also, so he says stop. So I had to stop a lot of roles. And I'm like, now what do I do? I'm twiddling my thumbs. Well, one, I got to work on my book, which was really nice. But it also, I wasn't very good at asking for help. And so in that season, I couldn't go down the stairs to do the laundry. So I had to teach my boys how to do the laundry. I couldn't drive myself to our homeschool community. I had to ask for help. So I had a lot of help in a lot of different ways. And it just like helped me to slow down to speed up really, but to slow down and reevaluate the decisions I was making. Because what I was doing is I was caught in the hustle culture. I was caught in the trap of being busy. And I think I liked being busy because I love it when, or, well, I don't say I love it anymore, but I loved it when people were like, I don't know how you do all that you do. You are like superwoman and all the things. I can't believe that you can, I could never do what you do, right? Like that to me was like, ooh, I know. I'm just going to add another thing then, right? But I had to reevaluate. And what was interesting is I started shedding roles and was like, okay, this is going to go. This has got to go. And I simplified enough. And what's funny is we had not planned in that time and season, we were not planning a cross-country move. It wouldn't have crossed our minds. Even in January of 2020, I was joking with someone like, I just need to get out of Minnesota. I want to move.
The coldest it ever is January in Minnesota.
Not planned. But then come February, my husband was like, what do you think about moving to Denver? And I was like, what? This is out of the blue. And so I said, maybe 8 weeks from him saying, what do you think about moving from Denver? We packed up and we moved cross country in the middle of the COVID shutdown. So nothing's open, nothing. We have no idea what we're doing, but we were called to move. But that was, the call wasn't just in those 8 weeks. It was the year before when I was shedding all these layers, because had I not done that, had I not slowed down and made those decisions, because God made me stop and do that, we wouldn't have been able to. But how cool is it? God called us to move, and that's how we transitioned over to where we are now.
Amazing. Why did he want to move? Why did he say, why do you think about this?
Well, so it's the reason that I would say, quote unquote, the reason we moved was for our oldest. He's a competitive gymnast, an elite gymnast, and we needed a new gym for him. The gym wasn't going to support his long-term goals. Not that the coach didn't want to support it. He would have loved to, but he was like the leader of the team at 12. And he needed more. He needed to see others. He needed people who were better than him. He needed a coaching staff so that he could eventually get to go international and get on national team and do the things that he needed to do. So it was either we drive 20 minutes further past our gym to the big boys gym in Minnesota, or we take an opportunity to look cross country and look at. So my husband kind of looked at the top five gyms in the nation, and Denver was on the list of one that had it. And we actually got engaged in Colorado. We both love the mountains. We both love the sun, and Colorado is very sunny.
We picked this.
So we chose to move somewhere.
Okay.
Instead of staying. Yeah.
Okay. You are, I'm picking up something, Gabe. You are a family of doers. I mean, first of all, you're running marathons and you're coaching gymnastics. You now have a son who is an elite gymnast, and you move, you know, 1,000 miles away or whatever it is to, for him to go to a different gym. So you are a woman who's not afraid of goals. I mean, you've got big goals and probably bigger goals than maybe a lot of people, at least on the physical level, right? So I'm curious for you, because your podcast is Pursuing Goals God's Way. What does that mean? Because basically, God's not saying goals are bad. Mm-mm. Goals are great. So what have you learned about how to pursue goals God's way that would benefit us? Like, what do we need to know about that process of not getting stagnant and being like, well, I guess I have no goals. There's really nothing I want to do. And God's like, oh, man. Okay, we get lazy. We don't want to get lazy. So how do we do that?
Yeah. So interrupt me if you need to, because I could talk all day.
He's like rubbing her hands together. Okay, here we go. Okay.
But essentially, I did goals the wrong way initially, because I am a driver. I'm type A. I am like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go do it tomorrow. Like, that's just me. But I will sacrifice everything to do it. Like, I get caught in the hustle. I get caught in, nope, I'm going to think about that thing all the time. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to get it done. And I'll drive over anyone that I need to do it, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how I used to see goals. It was like, no, you got to go big or go home. You got to be all in. You got to sacrifice. You have to think about this one thing and this one thing only. Now, I think goals are super important. I mean, God said, write the vision, make it plain. And goals, God's way, one of the things I think about is, if you are in alignment with him, if you are seeking him, he's going to put desires in your heart, right? Our heart's desires are going to line up with what he wants for us. So it's not about like big fancy houses or, you know, all those things. It's about, what is it that he's leading me to do next? What is that next project or thing that I want to do, gift from the giftings that I have? So that's kind of what I think about when I think about goals God's way. Well, when I had kids, when I started the road to motherhood, I put my dreams on the shelf, quote unquote, because I thought I wasn't supposed to do them anymore. I'm a mom. I just have to focus on my kids.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, we all think that, right?
It's like we're all on a little conveyor belt and we just glide on through and put our dreams on the shelf and keep going with our little babies behind us.
Right. Yeah. Which is totally fine, because obviously we're called to serve our family and we need to make sure that they are taken care of. They need to be fed. They need to be changed. They need to be watched 24/7 like a hawk.
The bar is really low there. They need to be changed, fed, bathed. Excellent. I like your bar, Gabe. I am with you on the bar of motherhood there.
But as they started growing, I think about it and go, who are they looking to? Mm. How are they going to learn how to pursue goals? How are they going to learn how to not get into hustle culture? How are they going to learn, you know, these things that we want to instill in them? Well, it's going to come from us. They will watch what we do and do that more than do what we say, right? And so I was thinking, well, separating goals and motherhood doesn't make sense then. I feel like we're not supposed to stop dreaming when we become an adult. We're supposed to, I mean, adulthood, you know, at 20, you become an adult. And you can, I mean, we could live to be, what, 100? That's a long time not to do, not to have goals or dreams or things for yourself. And so I started quickly realizing I needed to incorporate these to show them how to be able to go after a goal. But I also knew I don't want to sacrifice my family time. I don't want to get sucked into the hustle culture. And so that's when, like, God kind of helped reshape my mind in what a goal is and how to really take it and run with it. Because all I thought about before was see the big vision, make that plain and only see that and go after that. But we will, if it's a huge goal, let's say, for example, one of my goals was to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which is, you know, you have to be really fast. You have to have a speed goal based on your age and gender. That was a huge goal for me. If all I looked at was the finish line of that marathon, I wouldn't have been able to get there. And so we have to be able to break them down to I call them stepping stone goals. We need to be able to break that vision into smaller chunks, like 30 to 90 day run kind of chunks. So what can you do in 30 days to get you closer to that goal? And thinking about them more as like projects instead of like intangible things. And instead of like number things, like what's something I could do in order, like my action, what action do I need to take that can help me get closer? So it was kind of like taking that big vision, breaking it down and going backward as far as we can to make that little tiny goal realistic and doable. But then on top of that, on the other side, taking an audit of our priorities, our season, our capacity. What are we able to put in? Because some seasons we might have more gumption. We might be able to put more effort in to something. And some seasons we may have a lot going on in our life that we can only have this tiny bit of time, right? Like we just have to know what we're able to work with. Because if we work within those capacities, then we're going to be more likely to keep going to that next stepping stone goal.
Yeah. And like, how do you know what is a goal? I'm just smiling again because we've already determined on this show that I am not really a runner. Mm-hmm. So running the Boston Marathon is certainly not on my bucket list. But, you know, I'm thinking about going to seminary and I'm like, that feels like a marathon, is to do something like that or just write a book. Somebody be like, whoa, that feels like a marathon. That's not on my bucket list. That's not a goal. How, it's just so interesting to me, this intersection of what is a goal, like the desires of your heart, and then God blessing that. Because somebody could argue, because you had said, you know, hey, not big fancy houses, but somebody might say, what if my goal is to have a big fancy house? Mm-hmm. Is that a bad goal?
Yeah.
Like how do we even sort of granularly deconstruct? I feel like the Christian, you know, legalistic faith has probably also done a number on a lot of us to be like, oh, no, that is not a good one. You know, that is not in line with God's glory. But what have you learned about goals and the desires of your heart that might help somebody or set them free to really be able to discern if the goal is God's way or your way?
I love this. Okay, let's go two directions. I want to break down a goal. We can talk about writing a book. But let's think about, for me, I'm very not materialistic in my goals because my goal is time and memories. So those are my...
Which are like your core values.
Yes. So part of that is that... So let's say, for example, someone who wants a big house, right? Mm-hmm. Well, why? What is the purpose behind it? What's your intention? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that someone loves hosting experiences or events and they can bless others in that way. Then you know what? The goal of having a big house, great goal, right?
Right. And it's not completely self-serving. I mean, you will also benefit because you'll be comfortable probably in your really great house. And how can I bless others with this goal?
Yeah, because maybe your gifting is service. Maybe your gifting is empathy, right? Or encouragement. And you can do that by bringing people into your house. You love entertaining. You love that. You need a space to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So like, think about it in that way. It's not so much like the first, when I started like vision boards and things like that, it was like, take out magazines and put all these things on there. But
all these images that just speak to you, put them on your vision board.
Right. But what's the purpose behind it? Mm-hmm. Why do I have all these fancy things on here? And I realized this isn't what I want anyway. Mm-hmm. What I want is to have time to go travel wherever I want. So yeah, maybe I want to put a really cool fifth wheel on there, right? Because that's my vision of what travel and experiences looks like for me, right? So I think about that and go, well, why is that on your heart? Why do you think that, you know, why do you want this nice car? Why do you want this nice house? What is it that, you know, God's gifted you with? What are the things that, you know, maybe it's just like you really like nice things. Is that wrong? No. I mean, even the love of money is wrong, but money is not wrong, right? Like if we have a lot of money, if I have a lot of money, I can do a lot of good things with a lot of money, but it's my intention behind
it. You could, but then you'd have the choice. Are you really going to do the good thing or are you not going to do the good thing? Right?
Right.
We're constantly coming up against that choice.
So it's those kinds of things. So the desires, the stirrings, I would say go deeper to think about what is the meaning behind that? What is the purpose behind it?
Mm-hmm. And I guess the thought that I had about that is for anybody sort of practically, like where can you take this practically? It's like, okay, if you have a desire, a goal to run the Boston Marathon, to write a book, to remodel your home, to move across the country, fine, write that thing. And then be very honest with yourself and with God. Why do you want that thing? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the classic coaching technique is like to ask 7 times. Okay, if you run the Boston Marathon, why do you want to do that? So that I can accomplish a really amazing physical goal. And what will that give you? Why do you want to accomplish an amazing physical goal? Because I know how strong and courageous I am. Okay, why is it important that you know you're strong and courageous? Like you start to dig and dig and dig. And then I would say start looking for the fruit, because if the fruit of the dream, once you start kind of digging and sort of mapping out the branches of where this could go, if the fruit of it is kingdom oriented, is God honoring, is family honoring, church honoring, like if it blesses other people in some way, awesome. But if the fruit begins to like turn inward and becomes very like self-serving and it's so I can be famous and it's so I can have a lot of money and it's so everybody will think I'm really cool, I would begin to question, okay, where is the fruit and what do you want to build? What kind of legacy do you want to build? So one thing I love that you're saying is the goal in itself is not bad. It's like the fruit and the desire of what's coming from that we need to be paying attention to.
Yeah. I like how you put that together. That's one thing I work with my clients on. I'm like, we got to be like kids. Ask why. So like you said, 7 times, go a little deeper. You want to know what my why was for the Boston Marathon? It has nothing to do with like fame or, I mean, it's cool to be like, yeah, I ran the Boston Marathon, but it was really to prove to myself that I could do hard things. And the reason is because I hadn't worked on it. I put my goals on the shelf, right? Mm-hmm. So I hadn't done that in a long time. I used to be a huge achiever and I hadn't been in a long time. And I just wanted to know that I could like push myself, get out of my comfort zone, do something hard. And that was a tangible thing. Like a lot of people would be like, what's the point of a race goal, right? But for me, if I was able to qualify for the Boston Marathon, I knew I could do another hard thing. And then also like to go down from that is then I could teach my kids how to do hard things. Right. So that was like my deeper why was to be an example for them.
Going back to modeling for your kids, I think that's incredible. And I've mentioned this before on this podcast, but probably about 5 or 6 years ago, my husband and I both pretty simultaneously went through some vocational and career shift stuff. And a lot of that was stage of life with our kids getting a little bit older. The other component was just a restlessness and a feeling just misaligned for various reasons in what we were doing. And we both kind of, I guess you would say, reinvented ourselves as our kids were watching. And as I look back, I actually really love to encourage people to just go for it, especially adults and moms, to try something hard, to learn how to play the piano, to learn another language, to write a book, to learn how to quilt, whatever it is. So your kids almost can watch you, like you said, try the thing, mess up, say this is hard, but then you're demonstrating perseverance. And you're also demonstrating, if you start something and it really is not the right track, are you allowed to pivot and go adjust and do something else? Well, depending on what it is, sometimes yes. Mm-hmm. You can be like, you know what? That's not my thing. I'm going to do something else. So I love that you're talking about goals, and going for them is not just about you and your experience. It's actually about the people that are around you watching, many of whom are your kids and grandkids, to model to them how to do this well, with freedom, with joy, with grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't always make the goal. We don't always do the thing, and that's okay. Like, that does not determine our worth in God's kingdom.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's cool about it is I like having a big goal, something that's like tougher, like the big vision, like the bigger goal, to be something out of our comfort zone, because then it's God can use us. Like, when we're weak, he's strong. He fills in those gaps, right? And so like, now we're working and partnering with him, or we're bringing other people along, people who have the strengths that we don't have, and we can do it in partnership with someone. So I think having that kind of get out of your comfort zone goal is really, really important. But a lot of people quit on it because they don't know how to break that down. So I think I had mentioned, let's talk about like writing a book. So now I've written a couple books, and it was kind of like, I've always known I wanted to be, one of my goals in life was to be an author since I was like 5 years old. I knew I wanted to write books. Like, that's just me. I'm a writer, but it was still hard for me. And it was kind of like the getting started, not really knowing how to do it, how it's all going to come together. But we could break that down to be really, really quote unquote easy. And the way you do it is you think about, okay, the big book, here's what I want to write, right? And maybe the timeline of it, maybe it's a 3-year goal, maybe it's a 1-year goal. But now we break it down to go, all right, each book is broken down into a certain many chapters. So say I made the outline, it's 10 chapters. Okay, now each chapter is broken down into a series of blog posts. Okay, so just work with me here. Because blog post, you know, like you think about it and you go, I can write a blog post, right? Like, that's not as hard as a book. So each chapter has different sections, and each section has just a certain amount of paragraphs. So if you can break it down to the simplest of forms, have that outline and be flexible with the outline, but have that outline, now you can go into it and go, every day I'm going to write either a certain many minutes, or maybe I'm just every day I'm going to write a little section, and I'm not going to focus on the 10 chapters. I'm not going to focus on the book. I'm focusing on this one section, and I'm going to write that. And the other thing that's cool about it is if you have that outline, you know kind of where you're going. You have your map, because directions are important. You can't get somewhere if you don't know where you're going. You could be writing in chapter 10, even though you haven't written chapter 1 yet. You could be writing in chapter 5, because now you're writing where you're inspired. Now you're writing where, and this might not work as well for fiction books, but at least for personal development books, nonfiction books, you can definitely ping back and forth. You could probably do it with fiction books too, but that's one way to kind of see how you can break it down. And then you're just thinking your goal now, your action step is either I'm going to write, you know, 30 minutes a day. I'm going to write 3 days a week. I'm going to do, you pick your action. Because the other thing about goals, I am very much like, I played in like the new age manifestation side of things for a little while, thinking it was biblical, and realizing that it's turned from biblical principles into something it's not. You cannot manifest your way to a goal. You can't look at a car and become a car, right? Like, you can't just look at that picture. The reason you have that picture, that symbol, is because it helps remind you of the work you need to put in. We have to be taking steps. We have to be in motion in order for anything to happen. And we have to be in motion for God to work too. Like, he's not just going to do it for you with you sitting still. He needs you in motion. He wants to use you, right? And so it's like, think about, what are those action pieces? That is the smallest acts like stepping stone goal, and make that decision to be consistent in it.
Yeah. And it's just so fascinating to me. I mean, you could pick this apart for a little while, and so we don't need to go down that rabbit trail, but there are certain things that you can deconstruct and actually achieve, like writing a book. You can write your book. You can, you know, run the marathon. But there are certain things. Maybe it's your goal. Maybe your son's goal is to win an Olympic gold medal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. Just spitballing. He ultimately doesn't have control as to whether he gets it or not. I mean, he can put in every ounce of work. He can position himself to put him in the right spaces where he has every opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. But that final goal, it might elude him. I hope it doesn't. I hope he reaches his goal. I will be cheering him on. So you'll have to tell us who he is so we can like cheer him on whenever he's in the Summer Olympics. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I think there's that also that piece, especially with your kids. I was going to ask you this, like, how do you raise an elite athlete to go for a goal, like a gold Olympic gold medal, mm-hmm. and stay grounded and stay strong in who you are as a human being, as a son of God, and not get derailed by any potential loss?
Yeah. So this is such a great question. And even like a marathon, you have to have that flexibility because you don't know what that day is going to be like. You don't know what the weather is going to be like. You don't know how you're going to be feeling. You could have worked so hard and know you're going to make it. But if it's 80 degrees, you can't make it. That's just mm-hmm. the way it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to have this flexibility. So when it comes to the elite athletes, like I was an athlete. I love sports. I will play whatever sport except volleyball. I hate how it hurts my arms. I don't, something about it. And golf. I think golf
is boring. You're a redhead. You probably bruise easily.
I do. Yeah. It's always red and you're like, oh. But I wasn't elite. And one of the reasons I wasn't, I loved basketball. I wanted to be the first woman in the NBA because there was no WNBA at that point. But I wasn't willing to go all in. I wasn't willing to discipline myself enough. I disciplined myself to do well, but not enough, right? So like an elite athlete, there's so much that goes into it, especially a gymnast. Gymnasts are they're practicing 20 to 30 hours a week. It's a full, like, well, not full time, but it's a part-time job, right? Yeah. So it takes a different mentality. It takes a different mindset. So a couple of the things that we've done or we've helped train him, one, we've helped train him on the mental toughness. So like me going after goals, he learned that from me. And now he has that discipline and he's able to do that. He has those goals. What I think is cool, I didn't tell him to do this, but I've seen him. He's taking good books off our shelf, like spiritual growth, mental growth, like all the things, and reading them. And he's like got little post-it notes in there at each chapter with different like things to think about. I'm like, that's cool. That was trained. That was taught like by watching, which is why our example is important. But also, so he's got that mental toughness. So that's something that we needed to train and help, you know, cultivate. But also disappointment happens time and time again in any kind of athletic sport. But gymnastics, you're failing more than you're succeeding. You are practicing, finally hit it. Practicing, failing, failing, finally hit it. And when you think about even the Olympics, so his dream is the Olympics. And so and this has been since he started gymnastics, he's had this dream and he has the talent for it. But again, timing, healthy, like you have to stay healthy. That's really hard in gymnastics. The timing, what they're looking for. They take 5 men to be on the Olympic team. And that is not that many, right? So like you have to work hard, you have to train, you have to have the mindset that you can make it. Very, very important. But at the same time, at the outset, you have to have something outside of it. And so like something we've trained with him, he couldn't have other sports. He couldn't do anything else that was like dedicated focus. But he learned to have outside things. He was doing like this eBay business, like buying and selling kind of a thing for a little bit, which was cool because he's learning and growing in that way.
It's like diversifying your portfolio.
Yeah. I mean,
you can go all in on one stock, but just in case that one doesn't work.
Right. I mean,
you got to diversify for the health of the ecosystem.
Well, have you ever heard burn the boat? Like, you know, have no back door. I don't agree with that in a way, because yes, you want to focus. You want to know that you can do it. You want to believe that you can make it happen. But again, timing, health, all the things. And so he loves disc golf. And I think disc golf is so great because it's a sport he can do for life. It's something he can do
for fun. It's not hard on your body. Good job.
Not hard on your body, you know? Yeah. So it's like finding some of these little things, because if the goal doesn't happen. He now has something to lean into. Yeah. And I think that's really important when it comes to even like, just think about those Olympic athletes. They've worked their whole life for it. They go to the Olympics and then what? And a lot of them fall.
One person wins. One team wins. That's
right. And even if you win though, like you're done and you go, what's next? Mm-hmm. They don't have anything to fall back on. And they a lot of times do lead into like a depression or things because they've worked so hard for so long for that thing. So it's really important to like, think about what else there is. What else? Why am I doing this? Because maybe I'm doing this. This is a platform that God's given me. Maybe I don't go to the Olympics. Maybe I don't win. But what is this all for? There's something else. There's a reason this is happening. Maybe it's because I'm building these leadership characteristics. I'm building this for something in the future, and we just don't know. So, like having that flexibility.
Okay. Am I still loved? Do I still matter? And the answer is all yes. But we have to come to that conclusion on our own.
Well, and it's funny because I like, so he's now in college. He's at, you know, competing for the University of Nebraska. And I know he's like, it's transition. So he's having great time, but he's struggling a little bit. New coaching, new all of the things. So I wrote him a little note. And one of the things I had in there was really that. It was like, your worth isn't in gymnastics. Like, we don't love you because you're a great gymnast. You know, and so it was just like that reminder that you're doing this, you're working hard because you have goals, but your worth isn't in that. That's not who you are.
Yeah. That's an incredibly important balance to strike. And I'm guessing for you as a mom to remind yourself of that too.
Yeah. Because
it's hard to see if he goes through hard times, it's hard not to own that and hold that and be like, oh, and carry it yourself.
Moms carry everything. I don't sleep a lot. Yeah. I stress.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You get that.
We're not meant to. We're not meant to.
Nope. Yeah. And now I think with him going to college, this is one really cool thing is I used to hold the anxiety and stress a lot more here. And now I'm like, you own this. This is your responsibility now. Mm-hmm. Like it's a different mindset. Yes, I'm still like nervous for him and things, right? But I want the best for him.
Equip and empower him to do that.
Yeah.
So that's so good. Okay. I'm sure we could talk all day. I love talking about goals and I'm curious for you now. I'd love to sort of end this way. What are you asking the Lord to speak into right now? What's a goal that he's given you or a goal that you're asking him about that's like a very current discernment process for you?
Oh, such a good question. there's so many. I mean, we're in the middle of transition. So transition of one of our boys is out of the house now. We're actually in the midst of moving, not very far. So Megan, you and I can still hang out. It's fine.
Hopefully you're closer to me.
We're actually probably further. We're going to the city over north, so it's not that much further.
Okay. I can make it.
Yeah. So kind of downsizing a little bit so that we can, because one of our goals is to stay here longer and it's expensive in Colorado. So we just thought, well, we don't need all this space. Let's just downsize a little bit. Transition in my husband's work and then also transition just in where God's calling me in my business. It's been really cool because I've gotten so much clarity just over this last month of the couple things he wants me to focus on, which I think is really, really important. In anything we do, we can't focus on 100 different things and do them well. We need to focus on the one or two things and do them well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's been my goal is like in this transition, staying aligned with where he wants and just to be obedient in that, no matter if I'm seeing the growth I want or whatnot, because I think one of the things that is really important to remember is that our time, like we're on our time, he's on his time. Our time is not his time. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And I love, so like Romans 12:2 is essentially my theme verse for my business. And it's do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what God's will is, what his good and acceptable and perfect will is. And it's really about renewing daily. That's what Red Hot Mindset is all about. And so like, I'm just trying to listen to where he wants me next and slow down a little bit more. Like I said, I'm a goer, I'm a doer. And every season I feel like I slow just a tiny bit more so that I can really just.
It's called aging, Gabe.
Well, it is, you know, it's aging.
That's weird. I feel that way too.
I cannot do what I used to do. Even just a couple years ago, I used to be able at the hustle, like get, you know, energy, energy, energy. I have no energy anymore. So I have to be careful with where I spend my time.
Figure it out. Yeah, it's really, really incredible. So we're just never done growing. I love that you're just modeling how to continue to have goals, you know, year after year, season after season, and asking God about those goals. Like, go, Gabe and I can't prescribe to you, if you're listening, what your goal is. Just mind the desires of your heart and begin to ask God about them, and ask him to show you how to do this. And I think one thing that you've modeled, Gabe, is how to surrender a way of doing it that the world says, this is the way, this is the way. If you want to build an online business, you have to be on social media. And the Lord was like, no, Gabe, not for you. It's not healthy for you. This is not how you're going to, I'm going to be glorified. It's going to be a different way. And so ask him for that. And the other thing I'm just reflecting on is this idea of, you know, we talked about the problematic of going a mile wide and an inch deep. And yet I feel like the spiritual metaphor here is like, the deeper we go really in real life and we have those one or two focuses and we go deep, then we will hit water. How do you find water? How do you find the living water? You have to drill down to find water. Otherwise, you're just like on a parched land up here at the top, you know? And your son is drilling down in elite gymnastics. That's unique. That is not everybody's thing, but he will find lessons and grit and resilience. Like, God's going to use that to grow him. He's going to grow you through your not being on social media, and me. I don't know. Maybe I'm not growing. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you are too, Megan.
I have a feeling he's calling me into some higher education that I'm like, whoo, this is going to be a big commitment. But yeah, I think talking to you helped me realize I don't need to be afraid of it. It's going to be hard, but it's okay. We just deconstruct it and do one leg at a time, right? So
Yeah.
Okay. So before I let you go, first of all, I would love for you to pray for us to close it up, but people might go, Megan, you interviewed her for an hour and we still don't know what her business is. So what do you do? How can people find you? Give us the snapshot of like, yo, connect with me, not on social media. How can they connect with you, and why would they want to connect with you?
Yes, absolutely. So my business is Red Hot Mindset. You can find me at redhotmindset.com, but it's really about the red hair, but about stepping into the fire, the refiner's fire, so that we can be molded and shaped and, you know, led by God in everything that we do, in our goals, in our business. So I actually teach entrepreneurs, faith-fueled entrepreneurs, how to craft personalized game plans that work for their season and their capacity. So if you are an entrepreneur, or you're interested in starting a business, and you want to have that community, that faith-filled community, that's what I'm all about. And one thing that I do want to gift your audience with is, if you're like, I want to go deeper in goals and how you work them, and, you know, do it countercultural, I do have a free workshop. It's called Three Steps or Three Secrets to Crushing Your Goals in a Stressless, No Hustle Way, something like that. But it's going to help you break that down and go backward with your goals. And it's just at redhotmindset.com/goals. Very, very easy. So yeah. And then Pursuing Goals God's Way is all about just like business strategy, goal planning, and really being led by God and all that we're doing.
I love it. And your book, Mind Over Marathon.
Yes.
Have another book?
Yes. So Mind Over Marathon is about taking a goal from start to finish. You don't have to be a marathoner to do it. Okay. Victory Run, which is on the other side, is all about overcoming, like, you know, stepping into the fire. So overcoming those challenges that are in the way of the goal, because every goal has challenges. God did not promise an easy life for us. That is one lie of the devil, that life will be easy when you're a Christian, and life just isn't. We will have those obstacles. It's how we react and respond to them.
Mm-hmm. So good. Okay. Will you do us a favor and just pray?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this conversation. I just thank you for connecting me and Megan as well, because this has been such a fruitful relationship that I want to go deeper in. I thank you for everyone listening, and I pray that he will just stir in their spirit, especially if they haven't dreamed in a while, or they don't know what their next goal could be or what the next right step is. I pray that you'll just stir in their spirit, help them to see what their giftings are, and help them to see how you want to use them in powerful ways. Whether it's something really small or something huge, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we listen and we obey what we're hearing and feeling from you. And I just pray that you'll give them peace that passes all understanding, that you will just fuel them, that you will equip them with what they need to take that next right step, that they realize they don't have to have it all together. They don't have to know everything in order to start. They just need to know that next right step, and that's going to come from you. I pray that they lean into that, they lean into you, and that you bless them and take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. From one redhead to another. Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. See you, girl. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two, if you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going. Hey everyone, I have a question for you. Does your mind ever feel like a tangled hot mess of what ifs and endless overthinking? You are definitely not alone. That's exactly why I wrote Untangled Faith, How Honest Conversations with God Lead to Deeper Connections, Clarity, and Peace. This book is designed to help you learn how to hear God's voice, because does God speak to his people? If he does speak to his people, what does his voice sound like? And how do you know if what you're hearing when you journal or pray is God's voice or your voice? This book will give you practical tools and guided journaling prompts to help you find peace and direction so that you can hear his voice. Grab your copy of Untangled Faith, along with the companion journal, of course, at Amazon today. It is time to stop overthinking and start trusting that you can hear God's voice and live with spirit-led confidence. Get your copy of Untangled Faith at Amazon today.